Ladies and gentlemen, here we are. We are live 113 episodes. It's kind of fucking crazy. We want to thank our sponsors right off the bat. Abaddon Tattoo Studio, a unique professional experience nestled in the small town of Pine Grove, Pennsylvania. They provide high-quality tattoos and piercings in a relaxed, professional, and sterile environment. You can check the links below or follow them on all social media. Check out their work. And like I said, if you guys get crazy in the comments and talk and interact and you're from the local area, maybe I'll give you a free gift card and you guys go and get tattooed. Some housekeeping stuff out of the way. It's social media. You know the deal. If you like, follow, subscribe, that all means amazing things and feels great and helps out so much. So I won't get too much into that. But we do have a Patreon. It's just general support. I don't have anything crazy on there yet, but it's $1 or $5. It's like buying me a beer every month, a cheap beer or an expensive beer. Depends on how much you want to go. But I want to thank the people who do support and buy these beers. Tommy B, the Tree of Life Metaphysical Shop, Brad Zalonis, Hyrith, in other words, Jay, and Austin Blackwell. So if you guys can go ahead and check out that Patreon, and if you can, that'd be great. If you don't want to do Patreon, we do have merch and all that other fun stuff. But check out the links below, and we'll get into this. But today's guest, what's going on, man?
Dude, make sure you get the expensive beer. What's up?
Unfortunately, no camera today, so you don't get to see this gentleman's beautiful face, but it gives you all the more reason to go and check out the links below and follow him on Instagram, Spotify, and YouTube. You want to give a little introduction to yourself?
Sure. Hey, my name's XL. Thanks you for even having me on today. I really appreciate it. I hope you're doing well. Hope everyone in here is doing well. I literally came out of nowhere in Pennsylvania, and then I started working with Post Malone's former producer, and here we are right now talking.
Oh, I love me some Posty. The one year my hair was longer, and then I cut it, and now it's coming back. But the one St. Patty's Day, my buddy's wife gave me two Posty braids, and I walked around and got drunk all day.
Oh, man. Hell yeah. Did you sign some autographs as Post?
No, so my name's Tony. So instead of Post Malone, I was Tone Balone. That was thank you to Steve.
Tone Balone.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
There you go. Your rap career just started right off that. There you go.
I did rap that day too. I did a little Afro, man. Cole 45.
Oh shit! Hey man, you know you gotta start somewhere, and that's the place to start right there.
I'll just stick to podcasting. It's definitely where I'm much better. yeah.
So, I stick to Afro man personally.
Yes, I mean Afro man is a god. We got in contact. You made a post. We found out we have exactly 69 mutual friends. So you can
nice.
Yeah, there it is. So we have a lot of people in common, which we'll probably go into in a little bit and take all these fun side tangents. But you made a post saying you want to do a podcast, and someone tagged me, and I said let's do it. So we really don't know much about each other. Just maybe 3 or 4 minutes before the camera start rolling. So this is going to be experience for both of us as well as the people listening and watching.
You never forget your first experience.
Hell yeah. There it is. Now, how many podcasts have you done so far?
You know what? Under this character, I guess we'd say, this is my first one. Oh, sorry, my second one.
Oh, I thought I had
this. This is my second one. Sorry. No, not a virgin. Sorry. But I'll lie to you and say that I am.
Thank you.
So this is my first one. But when I did like rock music and everything, I was actually in a grunge band. I did tons. We did tons and tons and tons of interviews. So not my first rodeo, but to hear, this is my first rodeo.
What was your, are you able to talk about your grunge band? Like what was the name of it?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So my band was called Inner Temple, and we did a lot of really cool shit. Like it was so cool. It was such a fun experience. I was actually going down the nostalgia trail the other day thinking about it, because even though I'm on a different wavelength, like doing a totally different genre of music, I think your heart is always where you started. And don't get me wrong, I definitely grew up on pop and rap music before I got into rock music. Little fact there. But it was kind of like just the energy in rock music and like playing rock shows and playing like grungy shows and alternative shows and loud drums. It's just, it's really unmatched. It really is. I love it. I love it so much.
So where? And, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So what had happened was we were together for a few years, different members in and out. And we actually almost broke when we were approached. We played New Jersey and we were approached by a guy. I was out talking to other people and outside smoking a cigarette. And my bassist came up to me and he's like, you know who I just talked to? And I said, who? Well, here it was Alice in Chains and Soundgarden's former manager. And he was like, he saw us and, you know, he really thought a lot about us and he wants to talk to us later on. You know, here's his email. So I contacted him and we went back and forth talking, and he was a great guy. You know, I gave him our EP and he was just thrilled. But unfortunately, the band had broke up before anything really happened. But that's a little cool side story.
Yeah, it always happens like that, right? You're right. You're about to to get it, and then someone fucking bails out on you.
And you know what? No ill will, because those guys, they're still doing cool shit. My former band members, I'm thankful enough to say I'm doing cool shit. Like,
yeah,
more power to them, because they're really great dudes. They're really great.
Yeah, it you build a different type of relationship when you start doing things like that with people. When you join in a collective project, will it be music, professional wrestling, podcast, anything, and you dedicate as much time to go do something and create, it's a different level of bonding.
Oh, for sure, it's a relationship. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's really a relationship. You know, you have your weird little fights here and there. It's a relationship. It seriously is.
Like, you wore those stupid socks. I fucking hate you this week.
Again? You know what I got you for Christmas, you ass.
Dan in the chat. What's going on, Dan? He said, my beers cost $6 because he has bought me beer a few times. So listen, I'm giving you a dollar break on the Patreon, you know? I just wanted to show some love to the chat there. But I did listen to your music, and I will say I do get the... exactly what you're going for. I think a huge reason why I'm a fan of a Post Malone style, and I will say I think you're very in that realm a little bit. Because I can definitely hear in your music that you are someone who enjoys a lot of different styles of music, and it kind of blends into your look, your style, your appearance, and what you kind of put out. Because you know, one day you're playing, like, your one video, you're playing acoustic guitar, then your next video is very... I don't know how to describe Post or that style, but... it's melodic, and then the instruments, but there's also still the element of like the singing. I don't know. I wouldn't know how to genre, like, put Post Malone in a genre. That's why I just call him the Post Malone music, but it's in that realm.
Yeah.
You're definitely in that realm.
I appreciate that. And I'm so thankful that people pick up that there's more influences, mm-hmm. you know, than just like, oh, this guy's making pop music, so he's inspired by pop music. Like, I'm really happy that, you saw that, you heard that, and articles that have been written on me, they're like, you know, oh, we hear some Kurt Cobain gravel in his voice and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, I wasn't thinking about Kurt, but that's cool. Like, thank you that you know that I've listened to that music. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think from what we've been gathering from each other, I think we're very like-minded in a lot of different things, especially with music. How you're, I think we'll find that out as we go. But when exactly did you take that turn from grunge and then go into the solo thing?
So, this was about, I'd say it all really started about 2.5 years ago. I was with a girl at the time, and I remember getting a phone call from my drummer, and my drummer was like, hey man, you know, I think I'm done with the band and everything. And I was like, ah, shit. And of course, you know, I begged him back and everything, and that didn't work, but we still stayed friends. And I really did nothing musically for a long time. I kind of like wallowed in my own pity and everything. And then my ex's brother knew a lot of people within the music industry. And so I had talked to, are you familiar with Greta Van Fleet? Do you remember Greta Van Fleet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I talked to their former manager, and he's like, hey, you know, you get a band going again and we'll talk, because I really like what you're doing, this, that, and the other. Well, I dropped the ball. And nothing happened. So then went another year of nothingness, just wallowing my own pity. And then one day, my best friend, Chris Castillo, came up to me and he's like, dude, why don't you just do a cover of something? Why don't you just go to a studio, record a cover, put it on the internet, because that's how everyone's getting noticed now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, what should I do? He's like, well, do you know Post Malone? And I was like, yeah, kinda. Cause at the time I wasn't even a fan of Post, to be honest with you. Not that I disliked his music, but I'd never really jumped into him enough. I knew like the hits and that was about it. And so
what was a song that sparked you for him?
Rockstar was pretty dope. I really enjoyed that.
So I heard Iverson. My buddy was trying to get. I'm like, all right. I was in that like get off my lawn, old man. I don't want to listen to the new generation of music.
Yeah.
So they played it, and I heard you know the Iverson song. And I was like, all right. And then I heard the next one. I was like, all right. And then we put his album on, and my buddy showed me Feelin' Whitney with the acoustic guitar, and I was like,
oh wow, what a song.
I was like, all right. I like what he's about, and I just that one song alone. Yeah. I started diving more into him, and I learned to like. He loves all genre music. He's an animal on guitar. Then I seen him like his concerts, yeah. And I was like, "All right, I'm into this person."
For sure, for sure. And so when I did this cover of Rockstar, I've always been lucky enough to be very business oriented when it came to music. So I knew how to put myself out there correctly, and so I started researching posts and like trying to learn about this guy, you know. And so I saw all these different sub pages on Facebook of just tons of fan pages on this guy. And I was like, wow, like he has a cult following. It's so hard. You know, like his fans are do or die for this guy. And so I started going into these pages and everything. And I did this cover of Rockstar. And I posted it in all of these pages, probably over, oh my God, 200, 300 pages, just spam, 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 spam. And thankfully, his fans are all super, super nice people. And so they accepted me super quick. They just like swooped me up. They blew up the song. And then a Post Malone fan page in Brazil shared it out.
A Brazilian Post Malone fan page.
Yes, yes. Shared it out. And then it went viral on Facebook. That's when everything just kind of blew up for me. So that got shared out, went viral on Facebook. Of course, months later, it got zucked and taken down. But I do have the screenshots where it started going viral and everything. Then I put it out on Instagram, and it started like getting shared around on Instagram. I started paying certain Instagram pages. I'd be like, yo, you know, I'll give you this much money if you put it on your Instagram page. And they did it. They reposted it, put it up on their Instagram page. And then all of a sudden, one day, I got 3 or 4 new followers from really important people. I saw one was from, I think, somebody who worked with Kendrick Lamar. One was somebody who worked with Travis Scott. And the third one was Sauce Lord Rich. And Sauce Lord Rich worked with FKI. So they basically, long story short, they made White Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I started talking to Rich, and Rich was just a super, super chill dude. And I'm talking back and forth to him, and he's like, I want to work with you. Let's find a day. Let's work together. You come down here. You come to my studio, and we're going to record shit. I really love your voice. I love what you're doing, this, that, and the other. And we became really close friends, and we're still really great friends right now. And that's how my newest song, Good, happened. So I made that with Post Malone's foreign producer, and he has worked with Mac Miller before. So, I mean, and it was just insane because he is such a prodigy. Like when you sit in the room with a 7-time platinum producer, it changes the game for you. Mm-hmm. Because you're learning so much that you never knew before. You think you know a lot musically until you're in that position where you're working with somebody who's really about that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I always say iron sharpens iron. And when you're around your buddies who do the same thing you do, and you're like, oh, we're like all these local bands or all these local podcasters or wrestlers or whatever it may be. And then you step out of that zone and you mess with someone who's on a different level, and you're like, whoa, I got to reevaluate what I'm doing here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it felt like I got turned into an animal. Like I think we worked for about 2 weeks straight, and about, God, 13, 16-hour days, just nonstop recording and ideas, recording. And it got to a point, like, on day 4 or 5, where he had ran me through the mill so hard that I was just coming up with ideas every 2 seconds. And it was insane because I literally felt like an animal. And that was because you have someone who's bringing out everything in you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like going back to wrestling, like the Rey Mysterio, Eddie Guerrero matches. You know what I mean? Like you just get pushed. Yep. And you're just pushed. And then all of a sudden it's like, holy shit, like this is so fluid now.
that's a huge sink or swim moment, because there's a lot of people who, when they get, they think they want that stage, then they get to it and see the work and what it takes for you to dig deep and pull something out of your yourself. That's a huge point in people's lives. Like, oh, I don't know if I want this, or shit, I'm not ready, or all right, let's get it. You know what I mean? It's tough.
Yeah, definitely. And he had told me stories, referring to what you're saying, he had told me stories. You know, he's like, people come in and out of this studio all the time, and people, it's dog eat dog. You know, you're in the pen. When you're in the studio, if you're not doing your shit, you're not gonna be back. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is. And that's the music world in general. Like, a lot of people see musicians and artists and, you know, God, it really is work. You know, when people say, oh, it's not a job, it's not work, it's like, it's so mentally exhausting, you know? Because I remember, like, day two, when he was running me through the mill, I was exhausted. I could have slept for like 3 days, because it's just so mentally draining, you know, to being pushed and being pushed and being pushed. And but then once I broke through that on about day 4 or 5, whatever it was, it was just second nature. And this guy literally goes into the studio and he can make a hit. You know, you give him 3.5 minutes and that's it. It's a hit.
Wow. That's, yeah. I mean, he speaks for himself. He said, what, 7 times?
Yeah, 7 times. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, like, looking at you, kind of going back, you have a great look. You have you're a handsome dude. You got the hair. You got a good look about you. I definitely see if.
Well, don't make me cry. Don't make me cry.
I think that's super important, though. You know what I mean? Because I think a lot of people see certain, like, the first thing you're judged on is how you look, and you already have that down. And then now you have to go by ability, and now more people are wanting to work with you. So you're definitely connecting the pieces, man.
I appreciate that, man. You know, and it's really been a journey. Like I said, you know, everyone, there's no such thing as an overnight success. It takes years to become an overnight success. That's my favorite quote by Jerry Cantrell of Malice and Chains.
Yep.
And you know what? It really does. And, oh my God, you know, I never would have thought, if you would have asked me 4 years ago when I was in a grunge band, you know, oh, you're going to go viral on Facebook for doing a fucking Post Malone cover? I'd walk away from you. I'd say that's fucking crazy, you know, but I'm really thankful at all times for Post. I've never met him, but I'm very, very thankful for him, because if it wasn't for his music, I would have never done a cover, which means I would have never probably worked with the people I've worked with.
Yeah. It's one of those things. I'm a little older, so I see younger talent in anything come up and I'm like, I'm a fan of you. And then I get that weird, like, social thing where you're like, they're younger than you and you're the older guy, you're weird. And I'm like, erase all that shit, that's not real anymore,
dude. Seriously, man. And you know what, and I have to get this through my head too, you know, so many people think that it's too late for this, or it's over for this, whatever it might be. Everyone thinks that, like, 35 is everyone's cutoff, or life's over at whatever age.
Shit,
but let me tell you, man,
I'm right there. I'm at my
let me tell you, man, I just turned 27. Hopefully I don't join the 27 club, but you know what, man? Like, I'll be honest with you. Nobody cares about the shit we think they care about. Mm-hmm. They really don't.
Yeah.
If something sounds good, it sounds good. If you're a professional wrestler and you're, I mean, shit, dude, people still love Ric Flair. You know what I mean?
And he's died 4 times.
Exactly. If you can pull your weight in whatever it is that you're doing, nobody cares about what you think they care about. They really don't.
So all the stuff that you went in the studio, do you have an album coming out? Like, what can people look up right now? You just the single?
Yeah, so that single's out. I really love that single. There's other songs that I have on my Spotify, which I think people also really enjoy. But what we did was we took myself, and the first two songs that I put out, they were very pop-centric, and the song Home Run that I did, I actually worked with Childish Gambino's producer for that one. And so that's very pop-centric, and a lot of people really enjoyed that. It's a very danceable song. But when I started working with Sauce Lord Rich, he really wanted to bring out that dark direction. You know, he really wanted to dive deeper into that dark pop sound, which I think we did masterfully with Good, which is on my Spotify, and the numbers are doing great on that. And it was really cool, though. It was really cool to kind of be driven into like a different character. And the first thing he told me, he's like, once you realize this business is just professional wrestling, everything changes.
Dude, everything is professional wrestling. I don't like everything. You could literally assimilate every single thing to professional wrestling. All of it.
No, seriously. And we would do that. We would watch wrestling. God, we watched Mick Foley versus Undertaker, Hell in a Cell. We watched that in the studio. And, you know, we just kept talking about professional wrestling. And I'm like, why are we keep talking about professional wrestling?
It's all
well,
a gimmick.
It's literally because it's all a gimmick. And it's all character driven. It's all scripted because, listen, everyone says like, oh, so-and-so rapper so good or so-and-so artist so good. They don't realize that the producer is really the one writing that script for them. They're writing how to say things. They're mm-hmm. writing the lyrics. Now, Rich and I, we both came together and we wrote this song out. He created the beat. He gave a loose direction on it. And then we both wrote it. You know, I would never ever front and be like, oh, yeah, you know, I wrote it top to bottom. Like, that's not the way it is. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very upfront, and we just kind of combined our minds together. And he was like, we're going to go dark. We're going to go a darker direction. You know, I want this to sound like gothy, emo, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so he did that with the beat, and I think it came out awesome. So to go back to the question, what can people expect next? I really like this dark wave. So I'm going to keep doing like dark pop. Kind of like good. And there's about two more songs right now that have to get mixed and mastered, and then they'll be out pretty soon.
Awesome. When are you shooting for a timeline for an album, or are you just kind of letting it come when it comes?
You know what? What I've learned right now in the music industry is everything is pretty single driven. So for a while, you know, until I were to sign a deal, you're probably just going to see me drop singles.
Okay. Content's content, you know, you're going against, well, not really going against the mold, but I guess that how you're saying the music now is in a different direction where it is looking for the single route and then hit it with an album.
Yeah, definitely. You know, because it used to be everybody would blow up on, you have to hear this record. Mm-hmm. You have to hear this album. But now it's, you have to hear this song by so-and-so.
What was the one that Bruno just released? And just the single with him and I'm having a brain fart. The really like R&B soul album, I forget what it's called, but they only put a single out and now everyone's super anticipated for the album because the single's so good. I have to look it up. Nah, for me right now, just full disclosure, I work night shift, so this is like my 6 a.m. right now, and I just added
you're good.
I can't podcast without the beer. So
was that the single with Anderson .Paak?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. You know, everyone gets drawn in from the single, and it's so single driven now. It's really just so single driven because I think, and this is just a personal take, I think because our attention span is so minuscule now, which isn't a bad thing. You know, when I say that, a lot of people think, oh, so you're saying people are dumber. Like, no, I think we're getting smarter. But I think we are so intelligent now that literally we're all ADHD.
You cut out the nonsense.
You know what? And you just kind of, you got your minute and a half, a 2 minute song. You're good with it. You'll replay it over and over and over and over again. You're okay with it. And then you go to the next one. Yep. And that's it. You know, people, I don't feel we really have the attention span to be listening to full albums. And I'm talking general consensus. I don't mean you. I don't mean myself. Mm-hmm. I don't mean, you know, Joe Schmo. I just mean general consensus. I think that there's just so much media out there that we don't listen to really full albums anymore, unless they're like EP length albums, like 15 minutes.
No, I would agree with that. I'm definitely fall on that line where it's a little bit of both, but I'm also someone who listens like a 2 hour podcast over and over and over all day long. Well, not the same one, but different ones. So I'm very driven on like fine detail. So I do like the album idea, but I'm cool with those singles as well.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, as long as it's a really strong single, and some artists, they'll come out with a super strong single and then they'll get enough money to drop a really dope ass record.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a huge thing too. Is like, man, this single, people don't realize when you put out a single or you put out some, a certain piece of content, like you how much it costs to do a lot of things. And I'm not saying for you an example, but like an idea of an artist is like, listen, I only have so much change. Studio time's not cheap, and especially to get someone who's really good at what they do, I'm gonna put everything I have into this single and hope it does well, so I can make enough money or enough drive that I can get the funds to then follow my dream more. You know, like a lot of people who don't have the funds to go out and make that full album right away either.
Oh, for sure. And you know what? I really think we're at a great point in music. I know a lot of people trash where music is today, but I'm sitting right here talking to you on the podcast, and I have my Ashton mic, and I can record things, and I could just send it to my producer just from here, where I am in my house. And I think that's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, so it takes away a lot of the overhead expense that some people would pay to go into a really good studio and pay like what? Oh my God, $4,000, $5,000, you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah, it's funny because like growing up, I have a lot of friends who we'd bust each other and make fun of people like, oh, you're going to the studio and it's some guy's bedroom. Now those bedroom studios are the ones everyone's going to because they've mastered a way of getting things in a smaller condensed way, or hey, send me a file and I can work with it. And now in a pandemic era, those people are thriving.
No, seriously, I'm so glad you said that. That's a great point. You know, because God, there's so many songs that blow up where they're like, oh yeah, I went to my friend's house in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is. That's literally what it is. There's so many. I mean, we grew up in the tech generation. We grew up around all this. I remember my stepdad was talking about Bitcoin. I was like, dude, I remember when people used that on the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I was like, me as a millennial, I was like, we created that shit, dude. Like, trust me. Bitcoin is not what you think it is. And then you have soccer moms owning Bitcoin. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
That used to get paid for like Hitman.
Or the guy who bought like three pizzas with it. And if he would have never bought those three pizzas without Bitcoin, he'd be a millionaire.
Seriously. So like I'm saying about us being the tech generation is everyone is so savvy. Everyone's so savvy. And you can just give somebody, my one really good friend, Nate, and my friend, Chris, we had purchased Studio One. It's a program to record music and everything. We had purchased it, and oh my God, my friend Nate, he makes beats and everything. And I'll tell you, in like a week and a half, he was pro at that. He was so pro at that. And it's just crazy. Like everyone's just so savvy now that you can literally do things from your house. You can do things in the music industry that you would never be able to do before. Go on TikTok, put your song on TikTok, it blows up. Or do a cover, you put it on Facebook, and it goes viral. It's really, I think we're in the easiest time to make it, and I wish people would kind of embrace that.
Yeah, TikTok is crazy. I have like maybe 6 videos on my TikTok, and they're just clips of podcasts, but I really don't put stuff out there that much. I put one clip on there where we made a joke about like sex or something. I forget exactly, but because the word was said, it took my clip down. And then 3 clips later, I'm watching a video of like a famous podcast, and they're talking about way worse stuff than and their video was allowed to be up. I was like, this is bullshit. But TikTok, I almost have 1,000 followers, and all I do is just comment and like other people's stuff. I'm just engaged in the audience, and people follow.
Dude, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I went viral on TikTok once for punching myself in the nuts.
There you go. During the pandemic era, it's something that obviously everyone had to work through. A lot of people struggled in the pandemic era, and a lot of people thrived, depending on what your mind state was going in or what people's work ethic was. Yeah. A lot of people suffered because that, you know, not being around and your life changed. And then some people like use it as a way to like, all right, let's meditate, let's zen, let's get into where we need to be and work towards a goal. Where do you fall on that, and how did it affect your music?
Man, you know what? As horrible, and I would never downplay the pandemic. You know, it's really horrible for a lot of people, but I have to be completely honest. It was literally the best year of my life. It really was. And I was thankful that I was healthy. My neighbors got COVID. I lost smell and taste for like 2 weeks at the time. But, you know, I was fine. I ended up getting checked out when I was in contact with someone COVID and came back negative. But that was the year, you know, that I really had the time to do things. The job that I was working at the time, they had shut down for COVID. And so I got a hold of Post Malone's producer. I got a hold of Rich, and I said, hey, man, I got time. And he's like, all right, well, be here at this time, you know, this place, whatever, whatever. And that's when it happened. So really, the pandemic changed my life. The pandemic changed my life for the better. And again, not downplaying it, but I think it really opened up the veil to a lot of us being like, shit, at any time your 9 to 5 can go. At any time, shit can hit the fan. So I think a lot of people, and I might have a wrong assumption, I really do think a lot of people came out on top with the pandemic, because a lot of people kind of went back into, what do I enjoy? What do I love? And what makes me happy? You know, and being thankful for all the little shit rather than being like, I got to wake up at, you know, 6:30 a.m. going to my shitty ass job. I really think a lot of people came out on top. At least I hope I'm right. Yeah,
I think when you look at the media and you hear like, oh, the, you know, suicide rate and this went up and that went up and it, I'm sure it did, but they don't report on the, like, I have a lot of creative friends and I have a lot of people who like to create, and every single one of my friends who are in that creative headspace did very well in the pandemic when it comes to mental health, their own mental health, and really, because it really slowed life back down, you know, and it did suck. Like, I'm the same boat. I lost my job. Where with the whole pandemic, or things slowed down with the job, and I was like, I might have to find a new one here. And I kind of went back to a place where I was before, but I went back in a different mind state, you know. And it was a very good teaching and learning point for some people to kind of clear their heads and everything.
Yeah, definitely. And that's awesome. You know, I heard the same thing. So many friends like were thriving through that and writing amazing music. And yeah, it did take a toll on a lot of people's mental health, because even though I think a lot of artists, we are very like, stay away from me, you know, in terms of, you kind of want to be by yourself in your room, whatever, whatever. Human interaction is so important. And a lot of us started missing shows, and everyone just started missing everybody. And that was really tough. I will say that. I think everyone had a really bad mental dump when we realized, like, damn, this going to be forever, huh? You know, you know what I mean?
I have some musical friends who were the same way. Like, I don't want to be around people. I just want to go play music and get there and get out. And the first show back, they were just like, I want to hug everyone in the room. And I was like, wow. And he's like, I wasn't performing in front. Like, I was performing in front of people. I didn't care if they were there or not. And then that wasn't a thing anymore. And now I'm so grateful that they are there. So it changed him.
Really, seriously. And, you know, it really made me reflect, like I was talking about earlier, about the whole nostalgia thing. Being in a rock band, and so many people are like, oh man, you know, you're doing this, you're working with platinum producers, you got hundreds of thousands of streams and like this, that, and the third. It's like, shit, man. But like, sometimes those moments, no matter if you're playing to three fucking people, those moments are so, so, so important. Mm-hmm. And it's just, that's what got me caught up in nostalgia the other day. And I was like, damn, you know, we might have not have made it in that band, but it was so fun looking back on it.
You built a good foundation. Their band was your building blocks, but if you don't have a strong foundation, no matter how high you grow, you're gonna fall. So I think your band was a good start for you to learn the interaction and be with people, and, you know, pick up, learn another side of music, and go through all those moments to be where you are now.
That's a really good point. Thank you. And you know, when I went to work with Post Malone's producer, I came in there, he said, bring your guitars. And I was like, okay, that's weird. That's a little bit different. I thought we were just making, you know, pop music. Well, as we're in there, I have my guitars. I got my Kurt Cobain Jagstang 1995. I got my Fender Jaguar, and I got my Fender acoustic and my Martin acoustic. So I bring it in there, and seriously, dude, I am just playing the simplest bar chords you could think of. And everyone in there was like, holy shit. And I was like, what? What do you mean? That's like a C, you know? You know? And they're like, no, like, you're a great guitarist. And I'm just doing bar chords, man. And it was so cool, though, because you had this cross. We're coming from two different angles here in music, where they're showing me things I've never heard before, and they probably think it's lightweight work, you know? And I was like, holy shit. And I'm showing them little bar chords on a guitar, and they're like, holy shit. So it was really, really heartwarming when you bring all these different genres together in a room and everyone's appreciated for their own strengths.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, we talked about before, they're mutual friends, and a lot of our mutual friends are people in the music area. You know, you're friends with Tim and Ted, and I'm sure if you're friends with them, then I'm sure you met a lot of other bands. I know you're Liam from Mahantango, and it is a thing where I try to always tell these, like, the people in our area that you don't realize how talented your area's musicians are, like, especially in our area. And I think you're a product of that, where you kind of removed from this area and where you're from, went somewhere else and did the same thing you're doing here, where you thought, I'm just doing the same thing everyone else is doing. But then you go and everyone's like, whoa, that's really, really good. And you're like, oh, shit, like, we were building something here that a lot of people weren't even, because the area wasn't as supportive as it should have been. You didn't realize that you were on a different spectrum.
Yeah. And you know what? And that's a huge point. That's a really great point that you said there. Because when you're in it and everything, and you're so right, and it's not taken away from anybody at all, but it should have been more supportive. Everyone should have been more supportive, not in the bands, because I've only met great bands. Mm-hmm. You know, I have never, I can honestly say, I've probably met one asshole band ever, and I won't name them. If their ears perk up when I say that, then they already know who they are. But anyways, so I've only met like one asshole band ever. And to be honest with you, everyone's always been so supportive, and everyone that I've played with in the alternative bands, Liam, you know, Ted, and Tim, Tyler from Condition Oakland, Chris, you know, I can name forever, mm-hmm. but man, you know, they're always still so supportive, even though some people, fans of my old band, think that I changed up in order to, I guess, I don't know, pivot, I guess would be the word. You know, it's so cool that those people who played music with me, even though I'm doing this and they're doing this, they're still like, fuck yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love the shitting on somebody.
Yeah. I love the support in our area. It's super important to me.
Yeah. And when I say about the anti-support, what I'm talking about is kind of like, the fan interaction.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, there's more times that we played to three people than we played to 300, you know, but I would always be there in like third person watching all these bands. And I'm thinking to myself, like, how the fuck are there not more people here? Even my band aside, I was like, everyone is so talented. Yeah. I don't get it, you know? So I remember when I started switching up and when I started doing this kind of music that I do now, I had so many fans of my previous band get a hold of me on my personal Facebook and everything. And they were like, well, why don't you go back to doing this band? And it's like, because y'all weren't coming to the shows. Y'all weren't paying the bills. If you want to be blunt, you know what I mean? Like, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go next? If you're now supporting the band because it's over, where were you?
Yeah. They want to jump on the train now. The train's left.
Right. And it's kind of like, appreciate everybody who's been supportive, but it's kind of like, you have no room to speak if you weren't coming out to shows.
Yeah.
If you weren't doing this. And that's why we see so many talented bands just fade into obscurity.
Yeah. A big example for me is, I probably said on this show a few times, is and then this is not coming from them as a band, this is me as a fan and as a person of our area, Crobot from they played in clubs and bars in Pottsville and had 10 people there, and now they're playing shows all over the world and selling out arenas and being part of these awesome festivals and doing this really cool shit. And then everyone's like, well, they don't come back and play here anymore. It's like, when they were here, you didn't care, and now they like, and then they went out. But the on the same spectrum of that, when they were here, the 10 people who did care, one of those 10 people were the ones who took a video of them, sent them to a record label, and now here they are. So the support of those 10 people got them where they needed to go. But now that they're doing well, everyone else is like, well, I remember, I'm like, you half the time people weren't even at those shows, and now you're upset that they're not around as much.
Absolutely. And it happens every time. You know, you see a lot of bands that make it out. I know for me, since I was always in the more like alternative and like grungy and the, I guess, the punk scene, and don't get me wrong, there are people that are way deeper into punk than I was, but like Title Fight made it out.
It's a great band name.
Yeah, for real. And so Title Fight makes it out. And then they put out a record that's like more digestible by mainstream audience, and everyone shits on it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, I understand if your goal is just to play music to be happy. I totally get it. If that is your end goal, that is awesome. Do it, because it's a great antidepressant. But if your goal is to be financially stable and to make money from your music, you have to kind of bend a little bit. Mm-hmm. You have to.
Yeah.
You know, and so it always kind of caught me off guard when people would be like, oh, you know, fuck them, man. They went pop, or like, fuck them, dude. You know, they went corporate. It's like, well, that's the point. Yep. You know, they had to. They had to make money. And I think it's such a weird hill to die on, because those same people go work at their corporate jobs. And that's not a problem.
Yeah.
But it's a problem when a band or a singer or an artist, what have you, switches up to appease to the audience so they can keep doing what they actually love to do.
Yeah. It is tough, man. Like, when I do this podcast, I sometimes get frustrated, because I think, you know, I wish it was getting big. I wish it was doing better than it was. And then I look back, I'm like, well, I know how to make it bigger. I just choose not to do that yet, because that's not, well, not even yet. I just choose not to do it, is because the format that I know that would be the one that everyone would want dives more into negativity, dives more into trash talk, dives more into like telling people, yeah, like, and I just don't want to, I want to stay genuine, you know, and there's nothing wrong with changing it up a little bit to make a buck. But, mm-hmm, once again, I'm still in that independent phase. I'm sure if someone came and said, hey, we're going to give you a contract to be exclusive to Spotify, but you got to do this, this, and this now, I'd be like, I might sell, you know, I don't want to go my 9-to-5 yeah anymore, you know?
But you know what? At least you're honest. You know, at least, yeah, you're honest with yourself, and you're saying like, hey, man, I love doing this, and that's my end goal.
Yeah.
Unless ABC happened, this is my end goal, is to be happy.
Just,
and that's awesome.
Just like pro wrestling. You're on the independent scene, and you make your character, and you kill it, and everyone loves your character. And not only are you a great character, but you're amazing in the ring. And then WWE calls, and they say, we want you to come up. You're super talented. But when you get here, you can no longer be that character. You're going to be a janitor. Yeah. And, but we're going to pay you $100 million dollars to be a janitor. They definitely not pay $100 million. Dollars, but
let me tell you, you know what makes my skin crawl every day is how buried fucking Bray Wyatt got. Yeah. That makes my skin crawl every single day. Yeah. I was a huge fan of what he was doing. Oh, my God. You know, in my personal opinion, I haven't seen someone be that over for a long time. And for doing what he did with character development, with a lot of his own ideas, like, that, mm-hmm, was so dope.
Yeah,
you know, and so, like, going back to what you said, you know, okay, but once you get here, we're gonna do this.
Yeah. Now, you know, on the same token, you can be an Orange Cassidy, and you can be this character, and everyone loves your character so much, and you get signed to another company that you just waited a little longer, yeah, for, and that company's like, hey, we don't want to change a thing about you. We love exactly what you bring to the table. Do it. So that's I always hold out hope that I can be the Orange Cassidy of what I do. You know, like, I'm going to stay true to who I am, and hopefully I get to keep it.
It's really so rewarding, you know, because when I was in the studio with Rich and everything, I mean, when people ask about the song, about Good, like, what was the inspiration for it? Honestly, you know, all we listened to was Nirvana and System of a Down. That's fucking it. Like, that's literally it. That's all we listen to. Because I learned first of all, I learned that he grew up on System of a Down, and I was like, holy shit, that's crazy. When you listen to things outside of your realm, you get all these new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in there, and he'd be like, I want you to, you know, he's like, can you still scream? Like, when you were in a rock band, can you still scream? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, okay, we'll do that. And we're going to put it way back in the back of the background of these vocals here. And what I'm getting at is, it's so rewarding when you have somebody, or you have a label, or you have a professional wrestling company who's like, you know what? I like it. I like you. You know, and like, that's just dope. That's really dope.
Or they see something in you that you didn't even know you had.
Yeah. And you know what? I remember when we were in the studio, and
that's a good producer.
And he'd be telling these things about me, because I'll be honest, you know, I do have anxiety about the future and everything, because you never know. And all my life, I wanted to be a person who was in the spotlight and not just play shows in front of three people. And ultimately, that's what kind of hurt my bands, was I was such the driving force, as in we got to practice, you know, practice. I was such the drive behind that kind of attitude that I think was a lot for a lot of people. And that's okay. Like, I totally get it, you know. But when I sat down and, like, 7-time platinum producer, and he's telling me all these things about me, like all these great qualities, and he's like, you know, you got it. You're going to be okay. You're going to make it. It's okay. You're here. You're already here. You know, I really wanted to break down in front of this guy. You know what I mean? Because it was like, damn, that's really all I ever wanted to hear was like, hey, you're okay.
Yeah. Stay the course.
Yeah. You know, so that was really dope, man. That was really dope.
So besides music, before we wrap up from the music side of things, my last question, and then we'll kind of get into like your deeper dive and learn about you as a person. What is your future? Like, what's the future? What are some personal goals? Speaking things into existence. Let's say a 5-year plan. What are you moving towards?
Yeah, and that's great. So the next step is to get some more music out. I'd love to continue working with Rich. I just think he's such a great producer, and I'm the kind of person where when I find somebody that I really vibe with, whether it's personal, whether it's business, whatever it may be, I really vibe with them, and I like to kind of keep them near because I just believe in great people. And so I'd like to continue that route. I'd love to put out more music for everybody. I'd love for when shows totally open up again. You know, I'd love to have an album put together once these singles continue to do their thing. Love to put an album together. Let's tour out the album. And I really see it like this. I see it in a few years, things blow up and doing a lot of really cool shit. But I also know I try to stay very grounded in my work. And what I mean by that is I understand that artists, when they get on a big platform, you got about 3 or 4 years for you to be on top or relatively well known. So what I'd like to do is I would really love to do a lot of like investments. You know, I'd love to make my money in the music industry and do a lot of great things for great causes, because I grew up super poor. So I'm all about giving back. I'd love to get my friends' bands noticed, you know. You know, I'll be that dude at the Emmys I'll be the dude at the Grammys being like, yo, shout out to Condition Oakland, the Greater Victory, and all these motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like, that's just me.
Tyler is literally one of the hardest working humans I've ever met in my life. Like, just...
You're not lying.
His brain, like, is bigger than his ambition. You know what I mean? And his ambition is huge.
He's such a genius, you know, and he's so meek and mild. And he's just such a genius, you know, him and Ted both can just fucking write a song. You know, here I am hashing out all the fucking details in a verse, you know, and those guys will pump it out day by day. Mm-hmm. New song.
They're animals.
I think that's so cool. And you know why? Because they know their formula. They know exactly whatever their formula is. They know it.
Yeah. Sorry. That was our side tangent. I'm sorry. Back to your plan. I apologize. You there? Oh, no. Did we lose him? We'll give it a moment here. Anyone in the chat who's watching, have any questions while we... hopefully we get back our connection that may have lost here.
I think we're good.
Oh, we're good?
We're good. Yeah, we're good now. All right, cool.
All right, welcome back.
You know, and those things, I was actually talking to somebody the other day, and I was like, all this cool shit always happens in my life.
And then something breaks. I think it broke again. All right. Yeah. If anyone is in the chat, definitely put some stuff in the comments for some questions, some feedback. While he's gone, I'll quick do a plug for our network. And speaking of another person in the area, Tim has just joined our network. Tim Mingle, who was on our last episode. If you got a chance to listen to it, go check it out. His podcast, Hireth in Other Words, and Stoned and Nerdy, both episodes just dropped right now on the IWEP network.
Okay.
But even though you're listening to those episodes on IWEP network, like Welcome Back and all these other great shows, search them on their own. They have their own platforms, so we're trying to boost up their views and numbers as well. The IWP network is a hub for you to see that the new stuff is dropped and then go and support them other places. But are you back?
I'm back, man. Right. So like I said, sorry.
That's all right.
So you know what? All this cool shit always happens in my life, and then like something happens that makes for a great story, and that's prime example right there.
Yep. So besides music, what are some other hobbies or some other things you're into or passionate about?
Man, that's a great question. You know, my life, I hate to sound so standard, but my life revolves around music. You know, hobbies, I love working out. I love fitness. I love watching professional wrestling. I guess you consider that a hobby. I used to collect wrestling figures, man. I used to have over 800 in the box.
Holy shit.
I sold them all. I was like 17 years old, and I'd met my first girlfriend. And so I fucking sold them all, dude, and I regret it every day.
I sold a lot of my stuff to start the podcast. I pulled the Kevin Smith where I went and I held all these like nerdy pop vinyls and collectibles, and I sold everything so I can get the equipment to start this.
Hey, man, but it worked out. You know what I mean? You put it towards something that you really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. So growing up, this is where we're turning like tornado tag here. Growing up, what are some of your favorites? Like, what are some wrestlers that really drove you?
Oh, dude, you know what? I was born after, you know, Ultimate Warrior and all that. I was past.
Yeah, definitely some internet issues there on that end. Give it a second here. Feel so bad right now for him. All right, we'll get back into filler. So yeah, the IWEP network, a lot of fun shows. We have Bangin' Beers podcast. If you have been watching, if you're listening audio, you're not going to get the experience here, but if you're listening to video, I'm drinking a beer out of my Brent. I ordered these a little while ago for Not Cool in High School, but these are my Batman Forever McDonald's glasses. So I'm drinking a New Trail. What do we got here? New Trail Expedition Pack 4, and this is the collaboration with Attic Brewing Company. So that's what I'm trying now. It's pretty decent. So we have Bangin' Beers, what you're listening to now, interviews with everyday people, Tornado Tag podcast, where we talk a bunch of fun stuff. Oh, let's see if this
I think.
Are you there? Can you hear me? Interviews with everyday people, Tornado Tag, we talk about all things wrestling, the indie and all that fun stuff. We are looking to, so a lot of things too, people don't realize with the network is a lot of this equipment that you're seeing being used is actually helping with other projects and other people's businesses and projects like professional wrestling and other podcasts as well. But, so one of the things that I've been really fortunate with the wrestling is helping with the audio and, video. So I am saving up for another camera so I can almost fully run a wrestling show with the audio and video. With the three camera setup. So that's what we're saving for now. So if you can support that Patreon, that'd be super helpful. Like I said, it's $1 or $5, or you can set your own price in between or even over. It's completely up to you. So if you can support us, that'd be great. And also if you want to grab some merch, that'd be awesome as well. If you can't do any of that, you can also just share the content, let people know this exists, and follow us on all any form of social media. Are you back? He was back.
I'm back.
All right.
I'm
hey. Back. All
you
right.
You hear me?
Yep. Absolutely. I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Okay. Hold on. Let me try something here quick.
All righty. Take a little sippy here.
Yeah, I can hear you. You're kind of broken up, but.
Yeah, I think there's some maybe internet dropout on your end.
All right, now you're back.
Awesome. So, favorite wrestlers, and then we'll wrap up because I think we're having some technical difficulties.
Yeah, so, you know, my brother was really big into like Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man and all that. I had come after that point. You know, I get a lot of shit for, you know, who my favorite wrestler of all time is fucking Road Dogg, dude. Love Road Dogg.
Road Dogg, Jesse James. I actually got to meet Billy Gunn. He is a huge human. The big man.
I've heard. That's what I've heard. Dude, and you know what? He is very aggressive in training. So I've heard. I've seen videos too. He's very aggressive.
Yeah. So the Road Dogg's your favorite?
Yeah, by Perfect. Far, yeah.
All right. Well, there is a little bit of a weird delay. I think we're just having some technical difficulty issues. Maybe we'll push here to the wrap up section because we are about almost an hour in now. Is there anything you want to get out there? Anything we didn't talk about that you want to talk about? Anything you want to plug or put over?
You know, man, just check out my Spotify, check out my Instagram, my Facebook. You can go on Facebook, look on the pages, go to XL Fans, EXEL Fans, go to that. You can go to my Instagram, which is XL the King, at XL the King, EXEL the King, TikTok, King XL. I'm pretty much everywhere. Twitter, I really don't use too much. Sorry, Elon Musk. I'm not really on there too much. But, you know, just go stream my stuff. Go to Spotify, Twitter's XL awesome Good, my new song of Post Malone's producer, and all my fans that support me. And all my fans that support me, like, thank you all so much. I really appreciate it. Would never be here without anybody.
Yeah, dude.
Twitter's great for pro wrestling. That's the only reason I use it.
Yeah. The delay is really tough right now. But listen, man, I really, really appreciate you coming on and making this work. If you're ever back home in the PA area, definitely hit me up. We'll have you in person. The door is always open. And if you ever get any merchandise with t-shirts, let me know. I'm a t-shirt fiend. Definitely be hooked. I'll buy one off you. And thank you so much again, man. I look forward to eventually seeing you live one day.
Dude, I really appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me. It's truly, 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 truly a fucking honor. And shout out back home to Pennsylvania. Y'all are awesome.
All right, man. Well, that'll do it. Thank you guys so much. Make sure you check out the links below. His Spotify, Instagram, and everything else is down there. Definitely support this super talented artist, XL. And here's some Steve Fulton. And we'll see you guys next time with Interviews with Everyday People. We're out.